Hey, this is Lucky. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please visit professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls. I had to remember what show I was doing, the best old world podcast on the internet. I almost said, welcome back to another episode of Just Create. That's not the show. Anyways, I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me is that guy.
My name is Dan, thank you.
Oh, yeah, that Dan. Yeah, sorry, that Dan. Gosh, dude, there's so many Dans in my life. It's insane. I've been playing video games with Dan Asta again. Yeah. Yeah, if anybody plays Phantasy Star Online, hit me up. There's a server. It's really
plays Phantasy Star Online. What do you think it is? 1997.
First of all, no. Secondly, it's Phantasy Star Online that came out for the Dreamcast, GameCube, Xbox. Thank you very much.
2001, whatever.
Yes. Shut up. Anyways.
Are you 10, 11?
I wish. I act like it sometimes. Often, actually. So before we actually get into our Final Fantasy, which has nothing to do with Old World, let's give a huge shout out to our patrons who support us over on patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his $160 stupid blimp. Huge special thanks to our top patrons, which I didn't open yet, which are X-Paxis and Rob, Iron Maze Tau, Dagna and Bicon, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilt Sparky, Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velis, Senda, Pagan Prince, David, Handsome Andy, Brooks, Chris Dillard, Cord, and that's it. Idiot. I'm such an idiot. Electric Casuals. Hey, we got a whole tier. It's called Electric Casuals, and it's dope. It's where you show love and support to this show directly. And in that tier, we have Lou G, Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan, Rev Right Mad, Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony Manuel, the Neil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. Thank you so much, folks. patreon.com/professionalcasual to help us out. So speaking of patreon.com/professionalcasual, Dan,
man,
you're a big old like professional GM.
Yeah,
why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's super fun. Startplaying.games. You can look up Bad GM Dan. I've got a couple different Warhammer things going on right now. I've got Game Sunday mornings, but that's actually currently full, which is pretty sweet. Got five people in there playing the Uber's Ark Adventures for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. Also got a couple one-shots scheduled to try out. People want to check out the new Old World RPG.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote up a short scenario where the people are all dwarves. And basically the idea is you're trying to take back Carrick Eight Peaks from the goblins.
The goblins. You're
on kind of like there's no coming back from this mission.
Oh.
Probably. So okay. Half the group is slayers, which is great. Yeah. And it's kind of a classic dungeon crawl with a few wrinkles thrown in.
Wrinkles.
I also have the Talayan Six or Vincenzo Six, which is a Talayan heist.
Okay.
I really want to run this because I'm very excited for it because it just sounds ridiculous because like every character, like you have a goal, but every character has their own little goal as well.
Okay.
To fulfill while you're doing this heist on this super fancy Talayan villa.
Oh.
And I have also Wednesday nights. I have one spot available for every other Wednesday. We're playing the Cult Arcane. The homebrew campaign I wrote where everybody's a wizard.
Dope.
And it's been so really cool. Fun so far.
Is there a Bright Wizard? I want to be a Bright Wizard.
There is one Bright Wizard, but yeah. We could have a second. That's fine.
I have never played as a Bright Wizard in any Warhammer RPG.
You crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
That's so weird because you love fire.
I love fire. Fire's dope. It's scary. Sometimes they're scary. Anyways, check that out. It's startplaying.games.
Yes.
Right? And then look for Bad GM Dan. Dan's the best bad GM I've ever had in my life. But also, before we get started, I've been not doing any hobbied, but I have been playing Magic the Gathering Commander. I got to play actually with some friends today, which was super great. I lost every game, but we had a blast. Dan, have you
been
hobbied?
It's not about winning.
No, it's about having fun. And I got my butt handed to me by a whole deck full of slivers. It was not, it didn't feel good. none of it felt good at all.
Scary.
Yeah. He went from, there was one turn, he went from eight cards on the field, creatures, wow, on the field, to what? 20. It was dumb. Anyways, Dan, how's your hobbying and your playing and your stuff? You played a game.
I did. I played a game yesterday.
Totally forgot. Would stop dropping stuff.
I don't know. My dog's doing something in the room behind me. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, hobbying has still been essentially non-existent. We're currently living in the new house, but all my actual hobby stuff is still at the other house because sure. I don't have anywhere to put it here yet.
We
got to bring a big heavy desk over, and I just haven't gotten to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's barking. So
as you do, sometimes you bark about it, you know.
But I have some things to work on very soon because I got a package in the mail today from one Brooks.
He sent me
a ton of Minotaurs he printed for me.
Heck yeah, dude.
Super exciting. Cannot wait for this. I'm pretty sure there's at least 12.
That's
including
awesome.
A couple command groups. He gave me a bunch of dual hand weapon and a bunch of guys with hand weapon and shield. And at least 2 command sets, which is fantastic because I really needed that. Kind of ironically, I just tried out the Minotaur Blood Herd yesterday.
Okay.
Before I talk about that game, though, there was something else in the package for you. See, it's labeled Taylor.
Uh-oh. Is it a jackal? I can't see it. Oh. Thanks, Brooks.
That's fantastic. To make your models more anatomically correct or anatomically silly.
Correct. No, correct was correct. Oh, that's fantastic.
Really good. I didn't realize he was sending those with it, so I opened the box and I laughed a lot at that.
Just so folks know, they're Slaanesh-y. We don't have to talk about it on this podcast.
So I tried out the Blood Herd yesterday. I took, I think, all but one or two Minotaur models I had, just because I lost count when I was making the list, so I could have fit in 2 more. But okay. I had a Doom Bull with a great weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had full plate chaos armor, because obviously.
Yeah.
As well as he was a level 2 wizard, because you can do that with the Blood Herd.
Nice.
And I gave him the item that he can dispel as if he were 1 level higher than the caster.
Nice, yeah.
Which mm-hmm. is not as good as it was for the week before the FAQ that the book was out, or whatever, uh-huh. 2 weeks, whatever, right? So, because it's like, oh, you're a level 3, I count as level 4, so I still get +2 instead of +1. But it's still a bonus. Right. I might not use that item going forward because it is 30 points and makes it so the Doom Bowl, I can't remember if I had something else on him or not. Because I didn't give him a magic weapon, and I probably will in the future.
Yeah, 30 points is a lot.
I think it was absolutely worth it before the FAQ where it's, you know, you get a level 4s everywhere, and like, I'm only level 2, but now I'm dispelling at a +5.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't work. Oh, I gave him the extra arm mutation, so he had 6 attacks base.
Nice.
And of course, he rolled an extra attack at one point on Gaze of the Gods. He had +2 weapon skill at the end. He had +2 weapon skill and +1 attack. He was disgusting.
That sounds awesome.
I gave him battle magic, and I didn't roll fireball, So there was something else that was useless. So I took Hammer Hand. Went off because the once or twice I cast it, it got dispelled.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I had a Wargore with a shield. He was the battle standard bearer with a vitriolic totem, also with full plate armor and a great weapon. And then a Bray Shaman on foot, level 2. I did go cheese with the Hag Tree Fetish.
Dark You're a terrible magic, person.
And Gnarled Hide. I didn't have the points on a level, on a, you know, just a Bray Shaman, not a great Bray Shaman. Couldn't afford Chaos Armor on him with the Hag Tree Fetish. So it was really weird not having a great Bray Shaman. I'm so used to them because they're, in addition to the extra spells, they have plus one toughness.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is huge.
Yeah.
You know, going from 4 to 5 is like one of the major jumps. Also, only having 50 points of magic items instead of 100 is a big deal.
Yeah.
So I had 2 level 2s. So I was like, eh, maybe I'll get something. They can take a Hearthstone as core, which is nice.
That is nice.
And then I took a block of 6 Minotaurs with great weapons and full command.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized later that I forgot to actually give all of the unit great weapons. So
whoopsies.
So technically 3 of them just had a single hand weapon. Nothing else. And then 3 Minotaurs with additional hand weapons, full command, a unit of 10 gore, mostly to babysit the Hearthstone, and then a unit of 20 gore with additional hand weapons and full command, where the war gore goes, so they all have poison attacks, which is pretty sweet. And then a Gorgon, of course, and a Shaggoth with heavy chaos armor.
Nice.
A pretty small list, but you know, obviously a ton of multi-wound models. I played against our buddy Andy. He brought his orcs and goblins, and he really wanted to try out, like, he really wanted to focus on what was different with the FAQ. So he took 3 huge blocks of infantry of, like, 30 dudes. He had a unit of, like, 30 boys. He had a unit of, like, 20-something black orcs. He had a unit of 30-something night goblins. And then he had a unit of 10 boar boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then a giant and a war boss on a wyvern, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
So it started out, he was a little scared of my guys because it was, you know, a bunch of Minotaurs can be pretty spooky.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of holding back. The Gorgon destroyed him the last time we played. It had charged before this game. We talked about it a bit with the siege narrative day, but the Gorgon ran roughshod and killed like his war boss on a boar and a giant and helped kill another unit. This game, he killed 2 boar boys.
Dang.
Was it.
That's it?
Yeah, he had to charge at his maximum charge range, and he baited him out because he's frenzied. So I had to roll a 6 to make the charge. I didn't. I rolled a 4 and a 5, so he lumbered forward a bit, which put him in a great charge range for the boar boys. And we did a bunch of the math afterwards that he didn't kill him with the boar boys' attacks, which I was a little surprised. And I only killed 2 back between attacks and stomps. I rolled terrible, and he rolled great on his saves. And then the Gorgon lost combat by 2 and broke and was run down.
Okay.
Realizing now he was stubborn, so I could have kept him from being broken, but oops. It was like, wow, he killed 2 boar boys. That's very different from the last game.
Yeah, for real. When Andy was like, I never want to play against this thing ever again.
Yeah, he was like, you didn't bring one of those Gorgons, did you? And I was like, yep. And he was like, I'm going to kill that guy.
And he did.
He did. But things didn't go well. We tried a couple things where it was like, oh, I'll charge the unit of 6 Minotaurs into your block of black orcs. Let's see what happens. Between impact hits and me having higher initiative, it should go okay. It did not go okay. I rolled terrible. Even with Primal Fury, I think I killed 3 Black Orcs.
Jeez.
With impact hits and, you know, 3 Minotaurs, one being a champion with great weapons, just did nothing. It was it shouldn't have happened that way. But again, it was all about like kind of testing it out. My magic did virtually nothing. I didn't get Vileptide off once.
Oh my gosh.
Even when I did get it, I think I didn't. So first turn wasn't in range, of course. It's only 15.
Naturally.
Second turn, I think I didn't make the casting roll.
Jeepers.
Because he's only level 2.
Yeah.
Even with the Hearthstone, getting plus two to my cast. And then the third turn, I tried to cast it on his war boss on a wyvern, and he dispelled it. And then my guy got eaten. But I said war boss on a wyvern, because he charged a unit of gore, and I was like, well, I'm going to flee.
Yeah.
No, I had to. They failed the terror test, so they had to flee. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, I'll redirect it into that dude, the Bray Shaman that's by himself.
Ouch.
And I was like, ruh-roh, I can't react. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's a redirected charge. I don't get a charge reaction. He was like, oh, he's dead.
Yes, he is.
So it didn't go well for the Beastman, but it was a good time because it was a game with Andy. It's always super fun.
Yeah.
And we got to test out a lot of the new stuff. Infantry is actually kind of scary now, which is
nice.
Yeah,
man. Super happy about that.
The Doom Bolt was great until his unit broke from combat and got run down, of course. Mm-hmm. That was when I rolled like three for their flea from the same Black Orcs. They wrecked me pretty bad.
How's it feel playing dwarves?
Right? But it was great. It was a good time. I'm really excited to have more Minotaurs because it was like, I don't mind having a little unit of gore to like babysit the Hearthstone, but like I had the unit of 20 gore basically to fill out my core because they need 33%.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have more Minotaurs, which I realize now I could have had one more in this unit and one more in that unit, but still. But now I've got like 20 Minotaurs. Now we can really go to town.
Yeah.
And I need to get a second Gorgon at some point so I can just take a couple Gorgons.
No, absolutely not. No.
Just go full Minotaurs. No, no mm-hmm. more Shaggoth. Just Gorgons are special in that army. So
I hate everything you're saying. Absolutely everything you're saying. I found out today that I have another 20 Slayers that I didn't put together.
How do you what?
Because I'm big dumb. It wasn't yesterday. It wasn't today. It was yesterday.
Big dumb.
Big dumb. Was it yesterday? No, it's Friday. It doesn't matter. I found out recently. That I have 20 Slayers that I haven't put together, which puts me, I think, at 50 Slayers. They're not assembled, but 50 Slayers. So I should be able to take that like Grand Army Royal Clan with the Slayer King, and then 50 Slayers, and then a bunch of Doomseekers, and a Slayer axe-throwing thingy that I can't remember what the name of is right now.
Oh, the
Goblin Keepers. Yeah. So once I get all that assembled, get ready to fight some Slayers. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh,
you're gonna
boy.
Love it. You're
going to
love it.
Guys.
You're going to love fighting Slayers. Anyways, let's talk about Cathay. We got more Cathay things to go over. We got some Cathay things.
Don't do that.
Speaking of Cathay, let's talk about Miao Ying. Is that how you...
Oh, I forgot. We didn't talk about the special character.
Yeah, man. Special characters.
She's kind of a big deal.
She's a huge deal. At 485 points, she's pretty much the same amount of points as my level 4 greater demon. So she's pretty incredible. She is a Cathayan dragon.
Yeah.
She may be included in any Empire Cathay army made using army composition list that includes this option, blah, 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 blah. So she has two forms. She has a human form and a dragon form at 485 points. For her human form, she's kind of typical human, but way better because she's just dope as heck. She's leadership 10, initiative 7. She's got 7 wounds. His weapon skill 7. She blitz skill 5 because, you know, humans are good at shooting, I guess. Strength and toughness 4, 4 attacks, movement 4. She's friggin' awesome. She's heavy infantry, and she's a behemoth when she's in her dragon form. And her dragon form is, way better.
Well, yeah, it's a dragon.
So it's movement 8. Dan, it's movement 8.
Oh, yeah, but it also flies 9.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't need to be movement 8.
The same with the Longma. The lion, the, like, oh, you can't fly because I use this banner. Okay, I'm 1 inch shorter. Wow.
Yeah, right. I just can't move over things. Good thing its bliss skill goes down to dwarf level. Strength 7, toughness 6, 7 wounds, initiative 6, and 6 attacks. Still leadership 10. She's legitimately a monster. She's a monster. She has this, right? Yeah, she's a behemoth. You're right. She has the same equipment of Talons of the Storm as a human and a dragon. And as a human, she has heavy armor. As a dragon, she gets dragon fire as well as draconic scales. Which counts as full plate armor, right? So when she turns into a dragon, she gets a little more armor. Talons of the Storm is, so strength user, AP2, Armor Bane 1, magical attacks, but strikes first.
She always strikes first.
I hate it. I hate it, Dan.
But it's fantastic. She's only strength 4.
Only 4 attacks and strength 4, weapon skill 7.
Also, don't forget, when she's in dragon form, a weapon skill 8, 50% of the time she's going to be weapon skill 9.
Yeah, correct. You are absolutely correct.
I just want to repeat that real quick for people that might have missed it. Weapon skill 9.
Yeah, that's literally the same amount as, I think, the Slayer King, which I think is the highest weapon skill out of any model in the game without buffs.
It's crazy.
Is the Slayer King, and then her with a buff. Anyways, so she is a Magishan. She's a wizard, level 4 as a human, and then when she's a dragon, she's a level 2. And she can cast spells equal to her level of wizardry. And she knows 4 spells chosen the usual ways from battle magic, elementalism, and high magic, which is pretty dope. And she's got a literal paragraph of special rules. She's 2 pages of rules. It's insanity. She's got Celestial Forged Armor, which is a 5-up. A Disdain of the Dragons, which we'll go over in a bit. I'll have Dan go over a lot of this. Hatred Warriors of Chaos and Demonic Models. Hates Chaos. Not a fan. MR1, Mastery of the Storm wins. Mastery of the Elemental wins. Stubborn, Supreme Matriarch of Nangau. Transformation of the Dragon, Will the Dragons, and Wrath of Storm. Just so many things. When she's a human, she also has Rallying Cry, but if she's a dragon, she's Fly 9, Large Target, Stomps D6, Swift Stride, and Terror. Dan, I don't want to talk about this anymore. You pick up. We're at Disdain. Disdain of the Dragons.
There's so many things I got lost.
There's so many things.
Dragons, because she's one of the most powerful of the Dragon Emperor's children. Indeed, so awe-inspiring is her presence. Even the mightiest foes fall silent whilst within her aura of majesty.
Dope.
What? So if they want to challenge her, they have to first take a leadership test. Sorry, if they want to issue a challenge at all while within her command range of probably 18, because she's going to be a dragon a lot of the time.
And yeah.
She's going to be your general because she's leadership 10. But they have to make a leadership test using their own leadership. So classic, if it's like a unit champion, they can't use the general's leadership. They have to use their own, which also includes no bonus from like Horde, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
If the enemy model wishes to issue a challenge while engaged in a combat with Mao Ying, it must apply a +1 modifier to the dice roll if she's in her human form and +2 if she's in her dragon form.
And insane.
If the test is passed, the challenge is issued as normal. If the test is failed, the challenge dies in the enemy lips and goes unissued. But conversely, if she challenges you, you cannot refuse it.
She's just so awe-inspiring. She's just right? Like so commanding. She even commands enemies. She commands demons.
Yep.
She looks at you and she's just like that mom gaze. You know what I'm talking about. You know the mom look.
Right. Oh, I'm aware. One thing I love about it is that it really, especially with the improvement to infantry and whatnot, it's kind of like she knew ahead of time because she's like godlike, that she can get around the challenging nonsense, be like, I don't want to challenge. Now you're at mine. You're taking a leadership test and add 2 to your role.
Yeah.
Oof.
Awesome.
And like, oh, I don't have to challenge now. All right. She also has Mastery of the Storm wins. She may discard up to 2 of her randomly generated spells rather than the usual 1. When she does so, she may replace them with spells chosen from the Lore of Yang, the Lore of Yin, the signature spell of her chosen Lore of Magic, or with her following spell. So she has a special, like basically her own signature spell called the Storm Dragon's Fury. With a quick gesture, Miao Ying summons forth lightning from the skies to strike at her foes. Yes, please. Magic Missile, cast on a 10+, which we know is not easy anymore.
Yep.
Range is 18, but could be 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then the target enemy unit suffers 2d3 strength 5 hits with an AP of -3.
That's not all.
These hits are flaming attacks.
That's not all.
Resolved, the target enemy unit must give ground. It's, what is it? Wind blast, you know, turned up to 11.
It's so awesome.
You intend to cast it. Pretty crazy. And just the fact that she can substitute out two spells, and she's level 4, so she's getting 4 spells. So you can basically choose 2 of them.
Yeah, man. And 2 of the really awesome Cathay spells, you know?
Oh, it's missed before that when she changes to a dragon, she drops to level 2.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're a dragon, it's a little harder to get this Storm Dragon's Fury off. But while she's walking around as a person, then she only needs an 8.
Yeah,
which is still pricey. Good. It's still pretty hard to get off, but still.
Yeah.
She's also a Supreme Matriarch. Speaking of the mom look, what do we got here?
See, the Celestial Dragon Guard are formidable warriors handpicked to serve as the personal bodyguards of the Dragons of Cathay. I'd rather just this just be its own, like, special unit, but whatever. Mm. If your army includes Miao Ying, she must be the general.
Duh. That
makes sense. In addition, 0-1 unit of Jade Warriors and 0-1 unit of Jade Lancers in her army may be upgraded to Celestial Dragon Guard for 1 point a model. Let's see what we get for 1 point a model. The Celestial Dragon Guard have +1 weapon skill and leadership and gain Celestial Armor 6+.
Awesome.
For 1 point.
One point.
They're always weapon skill 5, at least 50% of the time. Now their weapon skill 6. Their leadership is up again to like 9, and a 6+ ward save against everything.
Yep.
So good.
Oh, it's so good.
Like, yeah, you have to pay the points for the special character first. She is 485. She's not cheap, but she's no Orion.
But she's so good.
And then 1 point a model for this? Like, I'd be fine paying 3 points a model for this. Weapon skill, leadership, and a 6+ ward save? That's huge.
Dan, also, if you just absolutely hate Warriors of Chaos and demons, guess what? This is the character for you.
Oh, right, because she does do that. Oh,
any wait. Jade Warrior or Jade Lancer in an army that's led by her also hate them.
Right, super anti-chaos. That's nuts.
It's so crazy.
Oh, it's we're so weapon crazy. Skill 6 and re-rolling our hits against you. Get wrecked.
Just get wrecked.
Oh, and she has a strength 4 AP 1 breath weapon. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Gosh, I wish breath weapons were good.
Super cool. And they have a whole other page all about the transformation rules here and what happens when the dragon dies, which is really neat. We're going to get more Cathayan dragons down the line. She's just the first one. Don't know if we're going to get another one in the next Arcane Journal. GW has said there are no new, like, kits coming out with that. So I don't really know what to expect there. Like, the book even more than implies that there's going to be more than just her as a Cathayan dragon.
Yep. And just a little bit of some interesting stuff here. It goes over a couple of things. So you start the game by just placing the appropriate model on the battlefield, right? Whether they're a human or a dragon, you can start them either one. While they're a human, they're heavy infantry. So they get all the special rules for heavy infantry. While they're a dragon, they are a behemoth. However, they don't get the inspiring presence rule, even if they're your general. So that's kind of poopy. But for +1 per model, you just +1 leadership on 2 of your, you know, units that are going to be massive. So
man,
I don't know if it matters that much. Leadership 8 looks like the lowest leadership in most of these units. So who cares? Death of a dragon. So when a Cathayan dragon loses a wound, it's lost from both of its character profiles. So the first time during a game that it's reduced to 0 wounds whilst in their dragon form, they revert immediately to their human form and recover D3 lost wounds. Once this occurs, they may not take the dragon form for the remaining of the game. If a Cathayan dragon is reduced to 0 wounds while in their human form, they're removed from play. So you kind of have like a little bit of an extra life if you're in your dragon form and you die. You just get you turn into a human, and then kind of like a druid in D&D. Just turn back into a human, and you're like, sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that you, not only does she have 7 wounds, but she's getting D3 back when you've already taken down those 7.
Yeah. And this is where it gets very interesting is in addition to transforming when you reduce to 0 wounds, they can transform into the human form or vice versa during the command subphase of any of their turns. So to do this, what you do is you take whichever model it is. So if they're human, you take the dragon. If you're dragon, you take the human. And you place it within 6 inches of the model representing the dragon's current form, not within 1 inch of friendly units, and not within 3 inches of enemy units. So you get like you can get a little like boost of movement as well as you transform. Because 6 inches is, contrary to popular belief, a lot.
That's huge in this game. Like placement like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nuts. And you can do this during the command subphase. So it's before charges are declared.
And Dan, that's not all.
What?
Once you remove so let's say they were human, you put the dragon into play. Once you remove the human model, you immediately recover D3 lost wounds.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
But you cannot declare a charge when you transform. Oh, and it counts as having moved for the purpose of shooting, but you can move normally, right?
Still.
It's amazing.
You can really change. It doesn't say anything about facing, so you can face whatever way you want.
There's
ambushers behind me. Well, I'm a dragon facing that way now.
And if you're a human and you're in a unit, when you change it to a dragon, you immediately leave that unit.
Yeah, because they can't be in a unit anyway. So I'm glad they clarify that, because people might be like, oh, well, they're in the unit already.
Right. She's gotten kind of a bigger base, too. She's on a 50 by 50 as a human and 100 by 150 as a dragon. And the model is just breathtaking. Absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
Amazing mini. But again, GW is known for their dope minis. But the dragon is great. She's great. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I need 7.
You only have one.
I can only have one.
Okay, so you want something, you want a whole bunch of them? About some cannon?
Yes, because they have ogres.
Yeah. So one of the greatest kits here is the Cathayan Grand Cannon or Fire Rain Rocket Battery. It's not its own kit yet, but we can safely assume it will be down the line. You can only get it in the battalion currently. Comes with 2 of these. And allows you to build 1 of each or 2 of either of these. And the Grand Cannon is 130 points for a war machine, which is not cheap.
No, not at all. That's dwarf level of war machine.
Yeah. With runes, right?
I feel like the cannon's 120.
Are cannons just more expensive than I remember?
Well, the thing with the dwarf cannon is it's stubborn and it's got a whole bunch of other stuff too, so.
Okay, fair. So this is a pretty typical cannon. It's got 3 wounds, toughness 6, because it's got 3, crew. That's the word. and let's see what else it's got. It's a grand cannon. It's range 48, strength 10.
Dope.
AP 3, armor bane 3. Shoots like a cannon, of course. Cumbersome, overshoot, multiple wounds, D3 plus 1. And a new rule called Thunderous Impact. So until your next start of turn subphase, any unit, friend or foe, that was within 2d6 inches of the strike point when a Cathayan Grand Cannon shoots suffers -1 to its movement characteristic and cannot use the Swift Stride special rule.
I hate it.
Even if somehow you don't hit exactly what you want with a cannon, which usually happens, within 2d6 could be a huge radius of no swift stride, -1 movement. It's basically even worse difficult terrain, because things with like move through cover don't negate it.
Yep By the way, dwarf cannons are 100 points, but like that's
30 just, points is worth it.
Just tell me you don't want Slaanesh to be good, you know what I mean? Just tell me.
All right. So what if we want to kill all the new infantry that's on the table now with a Fire Rain Rocket Battery? Also 130 points, same stat line, 3 crew, of course. And you've got 2 different rockets you can shoot. You have Bastion Rockets or a Rocket Battery. Each time you shoot it, you choose which one. The Bastion Rockets use a 3-inch blast template like a stone thrower.
Yep.
Is the bombardment rule. Uses the black powder misfire table, though, which makes sense because you're lighting rockets.
Mm-hmm.
It's strength 4 or 5 under the hole, AP 1 or AP 3 under the hole, and multiple wounds D6 under the hole.
Yep.
Pretty. The only strength 5 makes it like not, I feel like not quite as good as a stone thrower, but still, multiple wounds D6 is terrifying.
Yeah, that's massive. And the AP 3 as well is pretty terrifying. Yep.
Pretty great. Otherwise, you can shoot a rocket battery and shoot a whole bunch of rockets. Oh, both of these are also 12 to 48 inches, like most stone thrower type things. You can't hit things that are too close because it's got to go up and then arc back down and crash into you.
Yep.
So if you shoot the rocket battery, you use a 5-inch template. Otherwise, it works just like a stone thrower. This one has flaming attacks because you are shooting exploding rockets. Strength 3, AP 1. Under the hull is strength 4, AP 1. And it's always armor bane 1. So pretty typical, like, mortar-ish. But also has the Wailing Spirits rule, which just sounds cool.
Yeah.
If you take 1 or more unsaved wounds from this weapon, they must make a panic test as if they had taken heavy casualties.
Classic
skulls of the foe, right?
Yep. Totally.
Really, really cool. I've talked to a number of people that say they can't decide which they'd rather field at this point, especially with the infantry becoming more common. The rocket battery is decent.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like the Hellstorm. It doesn't scatter twice.
But that's the thing. Like, you can, why not, you know, por que no los dos, you know, like have a cannon, have a fire rain, you know?
Especially at this point, you're probably going to have 2 in your collection because you bought the battalion. It's the only way to get these right now. So you have 2 of the kits. 1 of each, and I'm sure it's pretty easy switch. I haven't looked at the
assembly instructions.
I haven't looked at like the kit itself in too much detail because I don't have one.
Fair.
But the coolest thing about these 2 war machines is that either can take an ogre loader for 35.
Can I do it?
I was going to say, you want to talk about the ogre loader because,
oh my gosh,
who doesn't love ogres?
Ogres are the freaking best.
Who doesn't love the ogres that like to blow things up?
Oh my gosh, right? So first of all, he can take gunpowder bombs. Sold. I'm done. I love him.
I totally missed that. That's so great.
So he's got a special rule called Enough for Everyone, which is so cute. the special rule, ogres enjoy loud and explosive weapons, and when they make gunpowder bombs for themselves, they make sure to bring enough for their friends. I'm in love with him. If an ogre loader is equipped with gunpowder bombs, guess what? The whole crew of the war machine has them. It's 8 points to give everybody gunpowder bombs. He comes with hand weapon, light armor, just like the crew members. Yep, and he's a mercenary crew, so he's a special type of character that can be taken as an upgrade to accompany a Cathayan war machine. During deployment, position an ogre loader with its war machine as you would, you know, a character that has joined a unit. Once placed, an ogre loader cannot leave its war machine. So what does he do? He gives him a +1 modifier to its movement and stubborn. In addition, once per game, a fire rain rocket battery or Cathayan Grand Canyon that includes an ogre loader may either fire twice during the shooting phase or reroll a single artillery die. What did you just say, Taylor? Did you just say your cannon can fire twice and in one shooting phase? I sure did. I said that.
I missed before that it's once per game. I thought they could do this every turn. Either.
That would be ridiculous.
I thought that were like for only 35 points?
35 points, you can fire as many as you want. Yeah.
He's barely more than a normal ogre.
Yeah, dude, that's. But still, you get to fire twice with a friggin' cannon.
And he adds wounds to your war machine.
Yeah, that is massive as well, for sure.
And now Chaff is thinking twice about charging this war machine because there's an ogre there. Like, yeah, he's weapon skill 3, strength 4, but he's got 3 attacks. Like, that's not nothing. He just has a hand weapon, so he's not scary, but like, you got your unit of 5 warhounds. I'm not charging that anymore.
No, right. Absolutely. And now have this strength 4 friggin' ogre smacking him in his dumb face with his big meaty fist. Oh my gosh. It's so good. It's so good. And the fact that it's an ogre just makes it so. Chef's kiss, ladies and gentlemen.
And it looks great. The model looks fantastic.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like everything. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, Cathay is just, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan.
One last unit to talk about.
Hey, Dan.
Yes?
Can I talk about the Sentinel?
The Cathayan Sentinel?
Oh, my gosh.
This is, This is one of those things that I think pretty much everybody assumed we were going to get some kind of terracotta thing in Cathay. Yeah. I didn't expect a giant.
Oh, it's huge, dude. It
looks so good.
So, first of all, if I were to ever make a Cathay army, my entire army would be terracotta soldiers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would paint them all just to look like I love the lore of that, of like, you know, one day this somebody's going to try and get in this tomb and all these soldiers are just going to awaken. I love that lore. Anyways, Cathay and Sentinel. It's a behemoth, 100 by 150 millimeter base. It's got a hand weapon, a great blade, which we'll go over soon, and terracotta armor, which is heavy armor. It's movement 6, weapon skill 5, fantastic. Split skill 1, so it sucks. Strength and toughness and wound 6. Initiative 3, only 3 attacks and leadership 10. For 230 points. He's not cheap. Not at all. So it must be one of the following. It can either be a terracotta sentinel, a jade, obsidian, granite, or warpstone sentinel. And each one of those obviously gives you some extra special rules. We'll get over those in just a second. Special rules it has is close order. And it has 6 wounds. Is that proc? Or you need 10?
10.
10? Yeah. Immune to psychology, it's implacable? Implacable?
Implacable.
Implacable. It's a large target. It's got D3 plus 1 stomps, terror, timber, and unbreakable. Unbreakable. It's unbreakable. By the way, it's unbreakable.
That's pretty nice.
It's a toughness 6, 6 wound, 5 up, unbreakable monster. Or behemoth. Implacable, I'm not going to be able to do it right. Once per game during a turn in which it was charged, when it was charged, this model may choose not to give ground should it lose a round of combat. In addition, once per game, this model may reroll its charge roll. So if you really need to get that charge with it in, it just, you know, it's huge and it's made of stone. So it's just going to get there, you know?
Just keeps walking.
And then with its great blade, you have 2 different attacks, right? It has 2 profiles representing the different ways it can be used in combat. You must choose which profile the wielder will use at the start of each round of a combat. So once the round starts of combat, you choose, right? You have a scything blow, which is strength user AP 2, armor bane 1, extra attacks plus 2d3. So that's real good. And then strike slash.
That's why it has 3 attacks base.
That's why it has 3 attacks base, yeah. And then the other one's deadly strike. So it's strength plus 1, so we're striking at strength 7, AP 4, killing blow, monster slayer, multiple wounds d3. Once again, that's why it has 3 attacks.
Right. I love that it can do both. Like, I can fight dudes on the ground, or I can fight other big things really well. I mean, Everybody knows how great Monster Slayer is.
Right?
Even if you don't get that 6, you still have multiple wounds D3. That's fantastic.
Dude. And it's weapon skill 5, which is really decent, you know?
Half the time's weapon skill 6?
Right.
You can cast a spell with weapon skill 7, I'm pretty sure.
So, as a Terracotta Sentinel, which is, you know, the base choice, so that's free for which type of sentinel needs to be, it has a 6 up regen, which is kind of weird. I didn't think that stone could regenerate, but, you know, who am I?
It's clay.
It's clay. You're right. Yeah. True. For 20 points, you can make it a jade sentinel, which knows a single spell chosen by their controlling player before armies are deployed from either battle magic or elementalism, and it may cast it as a bound level 3. You get to choose.
Oh, 3?
Yeah. That's massive.
That's huge.
Yeah, now that's massive. And you get to choose which spell, too.
Battle magic or elementalism. Like, okay, fireball.
Right? That's friggin' awesome. Which can be...
Fireball?
It's friggin' incredible. For 25 points, you can make it an obsidian sentinel, which has magic resistance to any enemy wizards that wish to cast a spell within 12 inches. Must make a leadership test. If the test is failed, they suffer a -3 modifier, which just negates. If it's passed, it's a -1.
And that's, it's MR2. So there's no point in casting spells at an obsidian sentinel ever.
You got two of these things sitting on the end of the board, and just minus, even if you pass the test, it's -1. That's insane.
And that's so, like, before FAQ, that's bad. Post-FAQ, that's horrendous. Like, level 1s, level 2s are now just casting on their die roll.
Yeah.
No modifier. If they pass.
If they pass, it's minus one, man. It's brutal. So then for 35 points, we have a Granite Sentinel, which lets you improve its armor value by one. So it's now rocking a four up. In addition, it is immune to multiple wounds X. And if it suffers an unsaved wound from that special rule, it just loses a single wound.
Ooh, I like that because it's like, what cannons? I don't care.
Right, right.
You're going to shoot me with six cannons. Bring it.
And then we have the Warpstone Sentinel for a whopping 40 points. It has magical attacks.
270.
Yeah. It's got magical attacks. And whilst in base contact with one or more Warpstone Sentinel, enemy units suffer minus one to their toughness.
Yeah.
I don't think that's worth it.
No, absolutely not. I love the idea of it. I think that's way overpriced.
Way overpriced. Now,
and here's in base contact. So if you got a multi-charge, it's only going to help like one model again, you know, I don't know. It is 100 wide. Like,
sure. Yeah.
What's its strength?
Strength six. So let me go over it this way with you. Ready?
Anyway.
That deadly strike is now wounding on twos against toughness six models because they go down to toughness five and the deadly strike is strength plus one, but it's only three attacks, right? Yeah,
only three attacks. For 40 points, I don't know. I feel like the obvious winner is the Obsidian Sentinel.
Sure, sure.
How much is that one?
That was 30?
25.
25?
So is 255 is Obsidian? Like, I don't know. I like the idea of Granite the most just because I think it's a big stone monster. It should have an armor's value of 4+ at least.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
And multiple, like, saying don't even bother shooting me with cannon is huge.
Right, absolutely. So here's the cool thing.
Yeah, Obsidian seems like the obvious choice, though, to be like, well, I'm just going to shut down your magic phase a lot of the time. Within 12 inches of it?
Yeah. So here's the cool thing. Ready? If your general is a Shigengan Lord or a Shigengan, you get one Sentinel as a special, and then you can take up to two of them, depending on how you do points, as a rare. Right?
So if you fit two in rare, you'd have to have one Terracotta, and then the other could only be, well, I guess, two-thirds. So say you're taking 2,000 points, so you can go up to 500 points of rare,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So you have one Terracotta, that's 230. Then you could take a Jade.
Yep. Or you could take two Jades.
500. Yes, you could take two Jade.
And then for your special, take an Obsidian or a Granite.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you can pretty easily field three of these things at 2,000 points, which would be a huge pain to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you could take an Obsidian and a Terracotta as your rares. You know what I mean? So, I think. Am I doing math correct there?
5 points over, aren't you?
Let's see. 230 and then 250.
Oh, wait. Five. No, that's 255. So you're at 2. You're at 585?
Yep.
I can't math today.
I don't know, man.
If you took two Obsidians, then you'd be 5 points over. That's what I was thinking.
Yes. So, no, I'm saying, yeah, take a Terracotta, and then I think you can take an Obsidian or a Granite? No, yeah, you could take a Warpstone as well, because that's 270. That brings you to 500. Yep. Cool. Yeah, so that's nifty.
You can take a Terracotta and one of the other, any other.
As a rare, and then whatever you want as a special.
That's so good.
It's pretty good, man. I want three of them. I want three of them. They're freaking awesome.
It looks so awesome. It's just the fact, just the idea of putting three of those things on the table would look so cool. Just this big wall of stone man.
Yes. Coming at you. Sounds awesome. Rawr. I don't even need a dragon. I just want a big old stone guy.
Three of them.
I want three big old stone guys. They're freaking so cool. And I gotta be honest, they look super easy to paint.
For real. I've heard they're not super easy to assemble, but
I don't care.
The paint is nice.
Oh man, this is incredible. Ooh. So, Dan, before we lose sight of our time, because I'm not even going to look at it at this point, we got to just some magic items to go through. That's it, just some magic items.
Just some magic items. There's some really cool ones here.
And
too.
We're starting out with a classic, dude. Starting out with just the Monkey King bar. Come on, what a classic!
Now, we got the Monkey King staff. It's called the Monkey King's Wisdom.
Yeah,
you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, sure. So a huge and ornate club studded with jewels and wrapped with precious metals. The Monkey King's Wisdom is a huge and brutal weapon. You know, it's strength 10. It's just casually strength 10 with AP 4. and multiple wounds D3, but it always strikes last. I don't care.
Oh, no.
I don't care. I don't care that it always strikes last. It's strength 10, AP 4, multiple wounds D3. That's stupid.
you're taking this on a Shugengen lord, right?
Yeah.
They're the only one that this is going to benefit because they have attacks. They have weapon skill.
Yeah, dude. Weapon skill 6.
Shugengen lord is 4 attacks at weapon skill 6, strength 10, AP 4, right?
Yeah.
Multiple wounds D3. That's terrifying.
It's friggin' awesome, dude.
And again, half the time your Shugengen lord is going to be weapon skill 7.
Right.
So who else could take this? A gate master? I mean, they're not bad. They have one less attack than a Shugengen lord, but they're way cheaper overall. So that's not.
But they are weapon skill 7.
They're weapon skill 7.
Which is nice.
Time 8. The magistrates, you could put it on a lord magistrate, but he's only got 2 attacks. You're not going to do that. They're not there for combat.
Yeah, you never want him to be in combat. Yep.
So I could see that on either the gate master or the Shugengen lord. I think if you're trying to build a fighty gate master, it's actually not terrible for 75 points.
I got to be honest, Dan, I would almost always put it on the Shugengen lord and treat it as whatever the heck that Bretonian on the whatever lord on the whatever flying thing.
What?
Because your Shugengen lord comes with a dragon. So you're flying around with strength 10. Like he is, I'm going to just flank your whole army with strength 10, AP 4, multiple wounds D3.
Yeah. I mean, my Minotaur list would absolutely hate this thing.
Dude, right? I'm gonna charge you in the flank.
Ogres would hate fighting this thing. It sounds a lot like this is Grisha's Goldtooth's weapon.
Yeah, yes. That's
except
probably where he got
it
from.
One-handed.
That's where he got it from. It's just a Monkey King's wisdom.
I think it is. It's gotta be.
That's hilarious.
His scepter. He used it one-handed, though. He was so strong.
Dude, all I right. wish I had that model.
Yes, I'm same. I've always wanted a Grisha's gold tooth.
Oh, it's so good. Jade Blade of the Great Fleet. Dan, what's going on?
So for 5 points less, we have a secondary, slightly toned down Excalibur here. This Jade Blade is an ancient weapon fashioned from the fang of a Lumbrian sea monster. That in this list. Imbued with the monster's regenerative powers, it continually heals its wielder. So this is range combat, of course. Strength plus 2, which is nice. AP 2, armor bane 1, magical attacks. The wielder gains regeneration 5+.
That's pretty cool.
So now your Shugengen Lord has 3 saves. Because they have the Cathayan armor, right? So they've got...
oh my gosh.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, because they have a 6 up regen.
5 up.
That's insane. Or a 6 up ward save as well.
That's crazy. The Shugengen lords have celestial armor 5+, so they always have a 5+ ward save. Now you can give them a 5+ the regen, and they have heavy armor with armored hide too, so they have a 3 up, 5 up, 5 up now.
It's insanity.
And a good weapon, too. Like, strength plus 2, AP 2. It's a great weapon that doesn't strike last and heals you.
Right. And gives you regen. Yeah. I mean, plus you have, 30 points to spend on other things if you feel like it, right?
It is 70 points. This is one I probably won't be taking because 70 points for a great weapon with regen. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'd rather take one of their special weapons that's not a magic weapon and something there might be something else that gives regen. I can't remember.
Hey, you want a really good spear though?
Yes.
So we have the Spirit Longma spear. It's made from the horn of the Great Spirit Longma, Tian Wu, and able to pierce any armor. Heroes of Cathay carry this spear into battle with pride. It's only 25 points for strength plus 1, AP minus 3, armor bane 1, and the strength plus 1 and the AP minus 3 only counts when it charged. So you have to be cavalry monster or chariot to use it. So it's a spear with it, an extra 2 AP? Is that right?
For 25 points, this seems weird.
I don't know, man.
That seems like not a lot. We have this huge drop off from 70 to 25 for this weapon. And now it's like, I don't know why I'd ever take this. Just take a cavalry spear or a Cathayan lance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. For that many points for plus one AP or whatever it is, kind of doesn't seem worth it. Where's the Cathayan lance? Strength plus one, AP one, armor bane one. So it's plus two AP.
And you lose fight and extra rank.
Which is a character, so you're not going to bother with that anyway, but...
Well, I mean, if you're putting him in a unit of Jade Lancers.
Well, I mean, I guess a Jade Lancer champion could take this, too.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. It's just an extra 2 AP.
But again, 25 points for 2 AP and magical attacks? I don't know. It doesn't seem worth it to me.
Yeah. But we do have the Sun and Moon Blades, though.
I know where you put this.
Mm-hmm.
On your strategist. On a strategist in a blimp.
Do it on the blimp! With this one attack. Because he would totally have some super expensive weapon and think he's the best ever.
That'd be so funny. How about the Sun and Moon Blades here? 20 points. I generally really like this range of magic weapons where you get a little boost for not a ton of points. So you can spend that on more defensive things I prefer on my characters. So another combat weapons. They don't have any magical ranged attacks, which is a little surprising.
Yep.
Strength of the user, AP only one. Extra attacks, one. Magical attacks requires two hand. But if the wield of the Sun and Moon Blades is struck, a killing blow, roll a d6 on a 4, plus the killing blow is parried, and the killing blow is discarded with no further effect. So they're 50% safe from killing blow. That's kind of cool.
That's neat. That's super neat. I mean, you could just be a dwarf and be immune to it, but you know.
I mean, most of the time, you know, the vast majority of the time, 20 points are getting an extra attack for eight and AP 1.
Yeah.
And you can't use a shield. I think I'd rather just go with their special weapons. What's the other one? The Cathayan, the Celestial Blade for strength plus 1, AP 1 strikes first.
Yeah, that sounds
dope. And it's like 6 points or something.
Again, 20 points you can put on a unit champ, I guess, but I don't like spending that much on unit champs.
Right. Yeah, the Celestial Blade's only 6 points.
Right. Yeah. So worth.
I think I'm taking that instead of any of these magic weapons most of the time. Unless you really know you need a magic weapon.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey Dan. You want your characters to fly and have countercharge?
And swift stride? Yes.
So you can spend 45 points on the armor of the Warbird. They have to be regular or heavy infantry only. It's a suit of heavy armor. They get countercharge, fly 9, and swift stride, but they cannot join a unit.
So you can't put this on a Shugengan Lord because they can only, they're only monster.
Well, yeah, they fly anyways because they're on longbows.
So you're going to put this potentially on like a gate master?
Sure. Because now he's countercharge, fly 9, and swift stride.
A combat guy.
So then what weapon are you going to give him? Steel
blade, maybe?
So he strikes first? I don't know. I would give him a magic weapon, probably from the core rules.
Yeah, saying probably none of these, but I don't know how I feel about this one.
It's almost, you know what it makes me feel? It makes me feel that thing from the old Wood Elf book where you just have this like blender lord that absolutely murders everything around it, and that's almost what it feels like, right?
But for 45 points you can't do much blendering because you don't have that much left to spend on other stuff. I think
headsman's axe, right? Strength plus 1 AP 1 killing blow,
that would be kind of nice. Run, you know, throw them at somebody, challenge, cut their head off.
Well, that's the thing. Or, you know, you just, I know that you're a fan of keeping your wizards out of units. So you can, like, snipe down wizards.
Yeah, that's true. Right? I would really like this.
Or just a giant blade.
If they had a wizard that was on foot in this army, I think this would be great. Because fly 9 on a wizard is awesome.
Well, it's armor, so you wouldn't be able to put it on there anyways.
Unless they had the Cathayan armor rule.
Oh, true. That's true. Yeah.
But I would love to play around with this one on like Gate Masters.
Yeah. I mean, and again, really the Gate Masters are so cheap, right? It's extra 100 points on them just to mess up somebody's day.
Like you said, just this and the Giant Blade?
Yep.
No, that's too expensive now. FAQ up the points.
of the Giant Blade to what?
70?
What?
What is it right now?
30.
Oh, I'm thinking the Ogre Blade.
Yes, you are. I was like, oh my gosh. No, the Giant Blade is a strength plus one, multiple wounds two.
I forgot because they flipped it on us. The Giant Blade, because giants are bigger and stronger than ogres, used to be the big one. Strong one. And yep. The Ogre Blade was like the mid-level decent weapon. And they flipped them for some reason. The Ogre Blade's crazy good. And the Giant Blade, I hate. I hate it because I never get the armor bane on it.
Right. Fair.
What if your guy can take a shield, though, and you can take Shield of Nan Gao for 20 points? It's a shield.
Sure does.
The Shield of Nan Gao is a shield. In addition, during a turn in which its bearer was charged, the Shield of Nan Gao improves the bearer's armor value by 2.
That's pretty decent.
Especially with parry now being a thing, if this is on a character on foot. Okay.
And it says max of 2 plus.
I don't know if I'd ever take it, though.
For yeah,
20 points, you get plus 1 armor sometimes?
Sure. Maybe.
This seems like a 5-point item. Maybe 10.
Hey, if I drop off the face of the earth, there's a thunderstorm rolling in, just so you know. We've got some talismans. The Crystal of Kunlun gives its bearer a 5-up ward save against any wounds. In addition, if a natural 6 is rolled when making the ward save, every model in base contact with the bearer suffers a strength 3 AP dash hit and flaming attacks for 35 points.
Oh, turns him into a slayer.
I mean, he's pretty cool. I like it. No, I mean, it's better than Slayer because you save the wound and you deal damage.
Yeah, I do like that. And every enemy model base contact. So this is where it might actually be worth it to put on a Shiganglin Lord, even though they already have a ward save.
Sure.
I don't know. For 35 points, it's probably not worth it for 1 in 6 chance when you get wounded to do some extra hits.
Yeah, I think, honestly, the Shiganglin Lord, I'd probably put the Crown of Jade on it. It's 20 points. It gives a 4-up ward save versus magical missiles, magical vortexes, and assailments.
Yes.
Right? Just, that sounds incredible.
Because you know it's a lone character. They have to be because they're on a monster. 4 yep. plus ward save. So 20 points to improve their ward save by 1.
Yeah.
I think would be worth it. Magic missiles, because they're going to be a huge target for like fireballs and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, either that or throw it on a guy in a blimp.
Yeah, for real. Love it.
You know?
What about guys carrying big old standards? We got 4 magic banners. The first one is Standard of Wei Jin, which just makes me think of that Avatar episode of Wei Jin.
Absolutely.
Jin Wei.
Absolutely.
Oh, shoot, I forgot the word. Redemption!
Redemption. No, I made it up.
for 40 points. So, will you double-check, can Lancers or Jade Warriors take this? Or does it have to be a BSB? They cause fear,
mm-hmm.
which can be good. In addition, all enemy units within 12 inches of the model carrying the Standard of Wei Jin suffer -1 modifier to leadership when making fear, panic, or terror tests. Okay? So I like how it has like synergy with itself.
Yeah.
Fear just so often doesn't do anything because you have to have a higher unit strength.
Yeah.
It's a big pain. But if you have a huge, we talked about taking big units of Jade Lancers to potentially fill your core. Can they take this or?
Lancers and Warriors can take it.
They can take 50 points.
Yep.
That's dope.
Yeah. So this absolutely works. Because if you, let's say you got 10, a unit of 10 Lancers, that's what, 20 unit strength?
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I think so. Now you got a better chance of actually having this do something. And they're -1 leadership for it. I really like how all of the banners in this book can be taken by the units that can take magic banners or the BSB.
Yeah. Dan, I'm sorry, but this next one is a single use. However, you might like it. 35 points. A unit carrying the Icon of Heavenly Fury may activate it during the command subphase of their turn. Until your next start of turn subphase, enemy units cannot use the Fly Axe special rule.
Well, that sounds familiar.
I've heard of this one before.
Why are they just copying the Beastmen?
Listen, it's not a copy. It's the Realm of the Celestial Dragon, Dan.
It's exactly the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. Does it cost the same amount of points? 35?
I'm trying to find it here. they had a... Where is it? I can't find it. No, it's not exactly the same. The Beastman one is 45 points during the command subphase. They're not engaged in combat. The bearer of this banner has to make a leadership test. And if they pass it, the enemy units can't use the fly X special rule.
Oh, gotcha.
And I think yeah, that so this one is just got to use it once a game.
Yeah, so this is kind of the same.
I think it got FAQ'd to be single use.
Yep.
So in this case, they skip the, for 10 less points, they skip the leadership test part.
Yeah, you just can't use it.
That's kind of wild.
We've got the Dragon's Eye banner next. That's 30 points. When an enemy wizard chooses a unit carrying this banner as the target of a spell, on a roll a d6 on a 3+, they either need to choose another target, or if there's no other viable target, the spell cannot be cast.
Just no thank you. Don't cast it at me.
It's not once a use. It's not single use. It's just all the time. On a 3 up, on a 3 up, no.
30 points?
30 points.
That should be at least twice as many points and or single use. That's crazy.
Really, really good.
So imagine you have your, let's say, unit of 15 Jade Lancers. So they have strength 30. They're, and what is a Gate Master on a horse with the standard of Weijin, the hero level Gate Master, I forget what it's called.
Yep.
BSB with the standard of Weijin, so they cause fear, -1 leadership, and then you also give them the Dragon's Eye banner just on the unit, so they're practically immune to magic.
Yeah, dude, insane.
That's nuts.
That is going to be the most expensive unit you've ever fielded, ever, because they're 20 points a model base, and you're going to give them at least drilled.
Oh, yeah, you're going to give them drilled, absolutely.
Right? Because you can give them drilled and stubborn. Oof.
Okay.
Yeah, real good.
Also, for 25 points, you can have one of your Jade Warrior units be Shield Wall with the banner of the Bastion. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Remind me what Shield Wall does. I always forget because none of my armies have it.
As far as I'm aware, if you were to lose a round of combat, you fall back in good order instead, I think. I got to look it up.
That sounds right. While you're looking that up, I'm going to start talking about enchanted items. They are my favorite set of magic items because they do all kinds of cool stuff. First up, we have the Maw Shard. Heck yeah, more ogre references. For 40 points, if an enemy wizard rolls any natural double while making a casting roll while within 18 inches of the bearer of the Maw Shard, the spell is miscast regardless of the casting result. That seems really overpriced. Just because the miscast table is not nearly as bad as it was in previous
editions. Yeah.
40 points for that? Nah, I'm not going to take it. I love the idea, but no, probably never.
By the way, the Banner of the Bastion isn't just Jade Warriors. It's Lancers as well, because you have to be able to use shields. And they have shields.
The infantry to get Shield Wall?
It doesn't say that.
Oh.
So Shield Wall is once per game during a turn in which it was charged. A unit with a special rule is arrayed in close order formation, is equipped with and chooses to use shields, may give ground rather than fall back in good order.
Cool. Okay. I didn't realize it for some reason. I think it's really only on
infantry for the most
part. Yeah. I don't know of any cavalry that get it. So that's really cool.
The reason I screwed it up is because hammerers are stubborn with Shield Wall. So if they decided to use shields, if they lose a round of combat, they fall back in good order instead. And if they're using Shield Wall, then they just give ground. It's really fun.
I'm not going anywhere.
Right. We've got an Alchemist Mask.
So good.
So this is 35 points. They can cast Plague of Rust from Elementalism with a power level of 3. That's really good.
The power levels here obviously were set up before the FAQ power level 3 is nuts, because Plague of Rust is only cast on a 9.
You just need a 6.
So now you're just rolling a 6. It might even be 8 after the FAQ. I don't think it is. I think that one stayed, but still. Power level 3, this should be power level 1.
Yes. Yep.
Maybe 2. Especially for 35 points, and it's not single use. Unless, is nuts.
Because Cathay wasn't out, so they're not in the FAQ, right?
Correct. No, they were out. They just, I think Beastmen were the newest thing within the FAQ. I don't believe Cathay got changed.
Gotcha. I'll take a look.
I think it was too new. But yeah, so Plague of Rust, to people that aren't aware, it's a hex, casting value 9, so with a power level 3, you need to roll 6 to get this off. Range of 21. I'm not sure if the yin and yang thing affect this, but could potentially be up to 24 as a hex. And it gives -2 to the target's armor. And you can do it to things in combat. It's nasty.
Yeah, that's really incredible.
Oh, you have full plate? Adds light armor now. that's so good. I mean, that's an auto include at 35 points. Power level 3, done.
I would assume no, because it says enchantment spells they know. And hexes that they know. And they don't know the spell. It's a bound spell.
All right. Good.
That's my interpretation.
I shouldn't get the range bonus on that. That's too much.
That's my interpretation. There's no Arcane Journal Cathay in the FAQ.
Okay, I didn't think so. The last enchanted item they have is Super Common, which I think might be the first one. Looking back, right. I don't see any other asterisks. This is our first extra Super Common. Spirit Lantern for 25 points. Model carrying this causes terror. Okay, already taking it. In addition, a model carrying a Spirit Lantern may reroll any rolls to wound of a natural 1 against models that are demonic or undead.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like that a lot. I'm almost certainly taking that on my Shugengen Lord because they only cause fear.
I mean, it's 25 points, though, but terror is dope.
Done.
Terror can be dope.
Easy. Especially in like a tournament setting, you're going to see vampire counts and tomb kings all the time.
Oh, yeah. And demons.
Demons are pretty popular too. Yeah.
Yep. So for our arcane items, we have the Cloak of Po Mei. And this just reminds me of what is that movie? You know what I'm talking about.
Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah, that one. Po. This enchanted cloak grants the wearer exceptional magical strength and mastery over one of the elemental winds. Thank you.
That was a stretch of a guess because I was like, I don't know.
It's great. Yeah, Po Mei. 50 points. In addition to the randomly generated spells, the wearer of this cloak knows all 3 spells from the Lore of Yin or the Lore of Yang. However, they can only cast a number of spells equal to their level of wizardry. Yes. 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 Absolutely yes. I get 3 extra spells and I get to use the signature spell from the lore that I take? Yes!
The more spells is more better.
More spells is more better. I don't even care that I'm a level 4 and I can only cast 4 spells. I want more spells.
You have more choice. You're going to be able to use some of them. Sometimes almost, you can't cast all your spells. Now you can probably cast 4 spells in a turn. But
almost every single one of the yin and yang spells are great too. So.
And you can go with the lore of yin and then use the cloak of homemade to take all of the Lords of Yang as well.
Yep.
So you can have 4 of the Cathayan spells and then 3 more spells you rolled for.
So good.
It's crazy. And then we have some Shi Bo, which are elemental familiars summoned by Cathayan wizards, which is super cool. So we have the Guardian Feng Shi Bo for 35 points. Super common. An enemy model that directs its attacks against the owner of a Guardian Feng Shi Bo during the combat phase suffers -1 to its hit rolls.
Dope.
Woof. On your super high weapon skills, Shugengen Lords and Gate Masters, awesome. Sorry, it's an arcane item, so only Shugengen Lords can take it. Anyway, don't care. great. Okay. Taking it, you could take it with the Cloak of Po Mei if you really want to be crazy.
Right. No, you can only take one Arcane item, right?
Super common.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the asterisk there. And then we've got the Learned Feng Shi Bo for 15 points. Again, it's super common. The owner of this knows 1 more spell, chosen in the usual way, than it is normal for their level of wizardry. You want to know all the spells, Dan? Do you want to know them all?
You want your Shugengen Lord to know like 8 spells?
Because you could just know them all if you want. How many of these am I going to take? Yes.
Right. I got the okay. So I'm a level 4 Shugengen Lord, right?
Yeah. So you know 4 spells.
I got 4 spells, yep. And I'm gonna go to their page real quick because I get it real quick. And let's go with high magic for fun.
Sure.
Right. We also have the I think it's Mastery of Elemental Winds, so I can substitute one of those spells for a spell of let's say Yin, right?
Sure. Why not?
So now we have 3 high magic spells, and we have I forgot where I was going with this. 1 Lore of Yin. Then you take the Cloak of Po Mei, and you know all the Lore of Yang spells. Now we have 7 spells. And then you take another 15 points, the learned Feng Shi bow, and now you have an eighth spell.
No, take four of them, Dan.
Oh my god, you could take more than one. So take the Cloak of Pome, that's 50 points.
Yeah, and then what, 15 times three? Yeah.
You could take three learned Feng Shi bow and have, what does that give us, 10 spells?
You can only cast four, but I know 10 of them, damn it.
Spells, forget you.
How many spells do you know? Well, yes,
frogmans, you can't learn 10 spells.
What are you, an elf that's lived for 10,000 years that have been studying magic for 10,000 years? I know 10 spells.
That's amazing,
absolutely amazing. Oh, you know high magic, do you? I know high magic.
I, oh my god, so they get five high magic spells. One can be switched out for Lore of Inner Young, and they also know all of the Lore of Yin or Yang.
It's so good, dude.
I love that. Is that going to be good? I don't know. That might be way overpaying for spells when you can't cast them all anyway, but it makes us, you're going to have the spell for every situation.
But that's the thing. It's not about whether it's good. You can do it.
I love it.
Just do it, though. What if you just did it?
I need to try this army out, or at least see it in action, like, in person. Yeah, this is fun.
It's so silly. It's absolutely silly. Is that it? Did we do it all?
I think we actually covered everything.
Dang. And it's, ooh, that's not even an hour and a half. Look at us go.
Not that bad.
We're doing great. Yeah, I can't wait to see this army on the table. It's going to be incredible. I can't wait for more options. I know that's asking a lot because it just came out, but having any sort of range or like any sort of arrows would be neat, or, you know, having Cathayan like guns would be cool, you know?
Yeah. And we talked about a little bit last time that, like, you know, ballistic shooting is not good in general.
Sure.
I just want the option for it because, yeah, like the idea, because like when we had like the narrative day with defending the castle, having missile troops on there is just so thematic and cool.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them better in that way. I was talking about this with Andy a little bit after our game, because obviously he's super pumped for Cathay as well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking about, like, we saw in like the little lore blurb about the pistols, they referred to these other guns, and it's like, why don't we have a unit of guys with these guns? Or at least also have that gun so like characters can take it or something. And it's one of those, like, yeah, it's a new army. I think it's completely acceptable to have a much thinner list at release.
Yeah.
Because they can only produce so much at once. People can only buy so much at once. But I would love for their second Arcane Journal to add three or four more units in a second wave and give it, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, 6 months. That would be fine.
Yep.
Give people some time to get used to this now and then give us some new stuff to play with. But they already said they're not adding new kits with the second Arcane Journal, which that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why.
It's just completely baffling that is the case. Completely baffling.
It was something I said to Andy a whole bunch of times yesterday. I was like, there's so many things that GW does that we don't understand, and it just doesn't make sense to the majority of people out there.
Sure.
And yet it still works for them, and they're the biggest games company.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Absolutely. Like,
what?
Absolutely.
How does it keep working?
I don't want to say this on the internet, but I'm going to say it on the internet. You ever heard of the company Disney, Dan? Like, it's just the amount of things that they've been doing lately where everyone's like, I don't enjoy this, but it's Disney. It's still working. Like,
they have enough other things to make up for when a movie loses $200 million. They're like, who cares? I made that much at Disney World today.
Yeah, I sneezed and made that. So,
right. Oh, no, this movie lost some money. Wow.
But that's literally
made up for it.
That's literally Space Marines. You know?
Right.
Disney World is Space Marines. Like, oh no, like things aren't working out so much over here. Well, I sold 7 million Space Marine models today, so.
Right. And they're selling really well from what I understand. You know, Bearded Dragon, Anthony got a fair bit of stuff. He basically got what he got allotted.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold the two battalions already. He sold, I think the only thing that's left are a couple Sentinels. And like one Shugengan Lord.
Yeah, don't tell me that.
That's on the shelf right now. And I know somebody's very strongly considering picking up the second Shugengan Lord.
Nice.
So, like,
I mean, it's a long ma. Come on.
Yeah, it's going to sell out in the next probably month, if not before then. He won't have any stuff left.
They're so pretty.
You're so pretty.
Well, no, you. Before we end, though, folks, I just want a huge shout out for Brooks, because he has an event coming up.
Oh, my God. We forgot to do it at the beginning again.
He's got an event coming up July 27th. I think it's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Dan, do you know where it is?
Massachusetts.
Somewhere in Massachusetts. Dan, look it up. So it's a casual day.
What? Let me look at messages. You keep going.
Yeah. So it's a casual day of gaming where we'll be trying out some of the new match play scenarios and secondary objectives. Open to all experience levels. People are welcome to sign up on BCP or could even join the PCN Discord and chat with Brooks about it there. If you want to plug your own stuff in a plug for my stuff, in an inception plug, if you will. So I'm doing that last piece where Brooks said to do this right now, and I'm reading the teleprompter, which I shouldn't be reading. But yeah, it's in Massachusetts somewhere. Did you find out where it is?
I'm asking him now. Hopefully he responds quickly. I know it's near Boston, so it's, you know, East Massachusetts. He's probably in bed, though. It's late.
Yeah, he might be in bed. That's totally fair. But check it out on Best Coast Pairing. I don't know. Dude, we're so bad at this. I don't even know what it's called. But anyways, we will have some more information in our Discord. So if you want to find more information, please join our Discord. And it should be, link should be in the show notes. And you'll be able to find more information there. We're a great group of people. We talk about Old World pretty much every single day. So, you know, get out there. We do talk about Old World every day. I don't think there's ever been a day that I've been on this Discord where we haven't talked about Old World in some capacity.
It's busy, busy. Also, we're having our own Old World event this coming Saturday, the 19th.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, over at Bearded Dragon. It's not a tournament. It's just kind of a...
It's almost the same thing. Just come hang out.
Day of gaming. Just instead of bringing crazy narrative scenarios, it's just bring what you've got and we'll roll some dice together.
Well, shoot.
I'll make sure to bring a bunch of terrain. I would, you know, people are asking in the Bearded Dragon Discord, like, what point level are we playing at? I would say bring 2,000 points. Be ready to play 1,000.
Yeah, 2,000 is usually your go-to, right? So. No, it makes sense. What was I just going to say?
I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Join our Discord. It's an absolute blast in there. Do the thing, et cetera, et cetera. All the links are in the show notes. But you know what else is in the show notes? Professionalcasual.com, where we have all of our other socials and our podcasts, like the Grim Podcast, The Perilous Adventure. If you need more Warhammer in your life, which of course you do, go listen to that show, Grim Podcast, The Perilous Adventure. It's fantastic. It's perilous. It's hilarious. You got to love it. We got our blogs over there, merch, everything's over there. We need to do another exemplary octuple confrontation, by the way.
Those are really fun.
Oh, super fun. We've got startplaying.games, which is Dan's GMing stuff. Look for Bad GM Dan, as we said before, on there. Take a look. And then our twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork. We've got, oh yeah, the Power Phase, which is every Tuesday night. We've taken a bit of a hiatus because everyone's moving. And we're trying to set up the new studio in Tim's creepy basement, unlike my creepy basement. It's actually not creepy. Dr. D's Disaster Zone. Really nice. Right. It's actually really nice, which Dr. D might be streaming right now. I haven't checked. He is not. He is also taking a little bit of a break. So we've got that going on, and then Ben solo missions every now and then. And then check out For Do, the Friends of Recovery dedicated to others, which is in the Otsego, Delaware, and Chenango County, helping folks, you know, get their lives back together. You know, get their feet underneath them. We also have a P.O. box if you want to feel generous and want to send us stuff. Like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just say it. Like Trek Nuts for a soul grinder. We've got a P.O. box that you can send things to, which is P.O. box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. And then we have a phone number, which is 603-803-3235.
Got it.
I got it.
The best part of the P.O. box is that... We were traveling a little bit today to go to a graduation party. Mm-hmm. I came back and there's a box sitting by my back door because Tim's dad delivered it from the P.O. box for me.
And Tim's dad ain't got no legs.
We have a ramp. It's perfect for him.
We got a ramp. He's a good dude, that Tim's dad.
I got to find my supplies and get gluing these dudes together and get bases for him. I can't wait to have all these minotaurs.
Oh my gosh. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm gonna hit you with hammers with spikes on them.
I hate that. I don't want that to happen at all.
It's gonna happen a bunch of times.
Those look so cool.
Very exciting.
Ladies and gentlemen, I love you to death. It's been great talking with you, Dan. We'll see you all in the next episode.
May your dice orders, those sixes, and those leaders just bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.